Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
But they never want to leave.
More than 4,000 violators, that is, caught on camera, speeding past stopped school buses in Santa Rosa County. Now, the school district started cracking down last year. They added cameras to those stop sign arms that swing out when a school bus stops for children. Violators are fined $225 when they do that.
4,000? Holy smokes. The WAR produced the numbers. Stop arm violations, 4,551. Confirmed by Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. You know, like the red light cameras require PPD to look at them. Stop arm violations go through a set of eyes. Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office verifies. Out of the 4,551, 4,038. So 4,000 out of the 4,500. Denied by the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, 512. Contested, 111. Upheld on contest, 57. Overturned, 45. Pending, 9. Total collected, $641,000. 4,000 times. You know, you hear these numbers from elsewhere in the state, or you hear these aggregated numbers, like, you know, 30 times a day somebody in the state of Florida passes a school bus. You think, come on, it can't be that. 4,000! 4,000 in a year, March to March, 4,000. And did you, I don't know if you saw the Channel 3, that, you know, they probably had many videos they could have picked from, but the one they showed over and over was the one of the white truck that is driving past the right side, the door side of the school bus, and has to jam on the brakes because, oh, there's a kid there. My God. Like, and again, this is one of those, maybe I just don't hang out with enough dumb people. Maybe I just don't hang out with enough idiots. Maybe that's my problem. The people I know maybe are just too smart, you know? Because, like, the idea of in your truck racing past a school bus that stopped on the right side of the bus, like, I can kind of understand why somebody maybe might not register the giant yellow obstacle in the road and would just blithely pass it on the left. Under certain circumstances, I can kind of see, you know, you're on a 4 or 5 lane road, you know, you're coming on Davis. I had one time I was on Davis, and I don't know why, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm about to pass a school bus, and I jammed on the brakes on the left side. And I was not even trying to pass, it was just in the left lane. It was, I don't know, it was some combination of shade and sun and stupidity, but okay. I can kind of see it. You know what I mean? But not on the right. You're like, you're going out of your way to risk children's lives on the right-hand side of a school bus. And all I could think when I'm seeing this video, and I'm sure you all had the same thought, is, oh my God, that kid could have been killed. We could have had a dead kid. You know, like, it's insane. 4,000 times. Wow, that's, you know, and it's Bob Johnson, you know, I'm going to criticize him, and I think he would agree, there's no word strong enough, and even these words aren't strong enough.
Oh no, you have to wait an extra 60 seconds to get to where you're going. I mean, it's not that long to wait. It's not like they're going to park at the road and stay there for an hour. Have a little patience. It's not worth passing when the arms are out and killing a kid. It's, nothing's worth that.
Nothing is worth that. I still I mean, you know, John, you and I have experience. My wife and I ride bikes, so we encounter dumb people all the time.
Right.
Should I tell them my word? Is it? Okay. Many people who drive trucks are very decent people. There are also truck holes.
I learned a new word this morning.
And can we all agree that we know what that word means? These are, like, when we're riding our bikes, these are the people. And it's never people in a minivan. It's never people in a sedan. It's always people in a truck, often a dually. And they honk their horn when they ride past you on a bike, because what are you trying to accomplish? Or they yell at you, or what? I mean, all I can think, every time I say, I'm like, wow, you're just here's your sign, you know?
It fits perfectly.
So when you see this video, or you see those numbers, John, there's a part of you that's just flabbergasted, and there's a part that's like, yeah, no, I drive with these people every day, right?
I do. I do, and I've seen it with my own eyes.
It's
I'm like,
amazing.
Especially passing on the right, because yeah. The kids get that's, off the bus that's on where the right.
That's where the door is.
Let's really think about this one, folks.
I know. All right. 437, I don't know. It's just, you know, we're trying to have a civilization over here. And
trying is the key word.
Trying real hard. All right. 615 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Why would chess get canceled? I'll tell you coming up next in the Transgressors Memorial Service. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still rolling accident-free, but remember the school buses are out this morning. Do not pass on the right-hand side. Just stop and take your time. No delays to let you know about either. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is more of a multi-point update on terminology. With so many words and labels being in flux, we thought it might be worth taking a moment to give the official guidance from the 15th International Conclave on Linguistic Virtue, as they've made some recent pronouncements on matters of faith, morals, and vocabulary. First, we've decided to honor the unbranding reversion of Max to its former title of HBO Max. Generally speaking, we don't like to see old names brought forth again because it creates the idea that dead names can be resurrected and then we have to deal with the possibility of undead naming things, which is bad. But since, generally speaking, name changes are so vital to fostering a deep and anxious uncertainty about what to call anything, that the Conclave has allowed this particular reversion. Besides, if we can't call it Skinemax, at least we can call it HBO Max, like in the almost good old days. Second, with the announcement by President Bleep, we are complying with his directive to now refer to the Gulf of Persia as the Gulf of Arabia. Again, change is good, and instability in the nomenclature is to be celebrated. Besides, Persia doesn't exist anymore, and calling it the Gulf of Iran will only raise questions about whether it's Iran, Iran, or Iran. Better to just say Gulf of Arabia, as the military has already been doing for several years. Third, yet another contribution by he whose name must not be spoken was the threat to rebrand Veterans Day as Victory in World War I Day. Since it didn't happen, we'll just move on. But the indescribably orange one did change Victory in Europe Day, VE Day, to Victory Day for World War II. What we love about this is that it forces the Red Hat people to choose between honoring their leader's wishes or honoring the historical truth that World War II didn't end until Japan surrendered several months after VE Day. Do they accept what their leader says, or do they hang on to a contrary and inconvenient historical fact? Naturally, we celebrate anything that untethers people and their language from the truth. As more official guidance is given, we will eagerly share it with all the other in present. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, CNN's Jake Tapper, whose forthcoming book Original Sin, President Biden's Decline, Its Cover-Up, and His Disastrous Choice to Run Again, details the cognitive decline of the 46th President of the United States and the extensive efforts to hide the deterioration and shelter Corn Pop's best friend from public scrutiny. Of course, what makes this betrayal so painful is that Tapper himself was one of the key participants in the charade of ignoring President Backrub's faltering mental acuity. He, along with so many other members of the media, systematically ignored the questions raised by Biden's behavior, speech patterns, and physical mishaps, and actively gaslit the millions of Americans who saw these things with their own eyes. Trip up the stairs to Air Force One? It's just wind. Or slippery steps. Fall on a bicycle? How dare you criticize the elderly. Fail to recognize George Clooney at a fundraiser? It was probably just too dark to see. Perform abysmally in a presidential debate? Trust us, he's an intellectual wizard in private. Don't believe your lying eyes. They had all the answers, and the fib was holding. And that's what's so baffling about this. Why now? It's over. The lie worked. There was no need to admit the truth. It was a flawlessly executed propaganda campaign. And with the ear whisperer-in-chief gone forever from the public eye, the hard part was over. We could have retired the issue and let the critics say whatever they wanted without ever giving them the satisfaction of confirming the allegations. No, Jake Tapper, this was the story you should never have told. Republicans will hate you for participating in the cover-up. Democrats will hate you for failing to keep participating in it. This is a lose-lose for you, sir. And how can we count on you ever again to do our bidding, sell our narrative, and work to advance the cause of wokeism alongside your fellow CNN comrades? Terrible choice. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Finally, our third remembrance is for the game of chess. This week, the government of Afghanistan announced a complete ban on playing chess because it is considered a means of gambling. And the Taliban will be performing a thorough evaluation to determine whether playing chess is compatible with Islamic law or not. Of course, Islam has a long-standing problem with chess, the earliest ruling against which took place in 655 AD when Islam was less than 50 years old. Catholicism also has banned chess until as recently as the 13th century. Now, obviously, whether the Taliban or the Catholics are against chess is not all that important for us. But this action by the rabble from Kabul has forced us to evaluate the game on our terms, and we've found it wanting. However, we were surprised the Taliban was against it for reasons that will become clear. Obviously, the thing the Taliban would hate the most about chess is that the most powerful piece on the board is a woman, the queen. We, of course, cherish that. Moreover, the king, by comparison, is a total wuss who can barely even defend himself. And the truth of this insult to men everywhere almost made us want to keep the game. However, at second glance, the game reveals itself, in fact, as full-blown tool of the patriarchy. The only piece on the board which matters is the king, a man. The very life of every other piece is completely subservient to the only goal of keeping the king alive, including the highly powerful queen whose only reason for existing is to protect him. This alone justifies canceling the game. But then we thought about the racial message of the game. white pieces battling black pieces to the death, a fitting model for a world in which race is the most important defining characteristic of both the participants and the playing surface. We figure the Taliban doesn't care much because neither black nor white really represents them, but nobody loves a good race war like we do. Obviously, both we and the Taliban find the Christian imagery of the pieces troubling. The king is always identified with a cross. The bishop is obviously a reminder of the power of Christendom. And even the knight, squirrely movement and all, is just an anachronistic memorial for that strangest of medieval traditions, chivalry. Perhaps the Taliban would have been more amenable if the king had a crescent moon, or if the bishops were imams, or if the knight were driving an Isuzu trooper. Then there's the peasant pawns dying for their wealthy overlords across a massive rich-poor gap. The gentrification of the first row versus the second row in chess is a potent symbolic picture of the class struggle between the proletariat and the bourgeoisie, which every society experiences until the Hegelian dialectic forces them to evolve into the perfect socialist utopia, as in not a feudal monarchy. We were actually surprised that the Taliban didn't embrace the game simply for being a visual jihad of one side against the other, waging a bloody war of sacrifice and dominion for the ultimate prize of paradise with 70 undefiled pieces. Think of how frequently in chess, the pieces suffer martyrdom for the holy war. Suicide pawns routinely rush into crowded spaces like S-vest-wearing martyrs with nothing more in mind than to sacrifice themselves for their king. We actually thought the Taliban might make this their national game. But apparently, there's not enough explosions for them. Plus, the queen doesn't wear a burqa, and I suppose we recognize that the Taliban doesn't want symbolic imagery violence games taking away from two actual national pastimes, throwing stones at infidels and preventing girls from learning how to read. But in the end, for us, it came down to a simple matter of metaphorical sexual oppression. Even though we like the idea that pieces identified pawn at birth might eventually undergo gender-affirming care and be promoted into the queens they believe themselves to be, this one representation of aspirational transgenderism was not enough to rescue chess from its hopelessly heteronormative nature. One man and one woman united in a common monogamous cause? This game might as well have been designed by the Heritage Foundation. Why can't there be two kings? Or two queens? Or three queens, two kings, a bishop, and a rook? That just sounds like an average Wednesday at P. Diddy's house. Even without the baby oil. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
627 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has traffic on the fives if he's able.
Chess pieces? That was like without the baby. Oh my gosh. It's crazy, dude.
Out of the roads, look.
They're actually looking really good this morning. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. 90, 98. I'm not seeing any delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So if you need to buy a home, you need to sell a home, you need to think about a vacation rental or, I don't know, a beach house or a long-term rental or a fix and flip, whatever you want to do, talk to a good realtor. Talk to somebody who does this a lot. Talk to somebody who has experience in the market, can guide you and answer your questions and, you know, honestly help you ask better ones. That's Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. 175 homes they sold in 2023, 165 homes they sold in 2024. Just clicking week after week after week, selling, solving, getting to closing, making people happy, making them money. Give her a call. Ask her questions even before you make a decision, just if you're kind of thinking about it, honestly. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Service says tornado in Wisconsin.
We'll get to David here in just a second. Sorry about that, brother. How are you doing, man?
Oh, I am doing well. How are you this morning, Andrew?
I'm doing great, even without the baby oil.
Oh, jeez. Oh, that's a visual I didn't need this morning. All right, here we go. Well, it's also a difficult morning for people in New Jersey, Andrew. Not just me with that visual in my head. Difficult morning for commuters in New Jersey. Apparently, their train engineers all went on strike overnight, walking off the job. Train service there has ground to a halt as 350,000 people are now looking for other options. Be a good day to be an Uber driver there.
How will kids flatten pennies now? Go on.
President Trump is in the United Arab Emirates. It's the final day of his Middle East trip. He started the day at a business round table, made some deals and investments in health, aviation, and energy. He also said he'd like to meet with Vladimir Putin as soon as possible to talk about ending the war in Ukraine.
What's the weirdest thing you've seen on this trip? Is it the hair dancers?
The sword dancing was it.
Was it the drunken sword dancers? Or was it the $14 sandals on the Emir of UAE? Like, oh, bro, man. Put on some real footwear. You're meeting the president.
It's an interesting culture.
It is,
In the Middle East. Hey, Fortnite is apparently unavailable now on iOS. Epic Games made that announcement. Apparently, Apple blocked an effort to get the game back on the App Store, and it was pulled in 2020 after Epic Games updated software. A judge earlier this year ruled Apple couldn't charge fees for purchases made outside of the iOS app.
I think there are very few people who play Fortnite that would make it past the first river in Oregon Trail.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Trump heads home today after a whirlwind week that saw him rake in billions in deals and strengthen Middle East alliances.
We're developing a lot of fans, but people have said they've never seen anything like taking place over the last 4 days in terms of investment, in terms of the kind of money coming back into the United States. And all that money, the money is a nice word, but it's really jobs.
Now, one thing Trump hasn't cracked is peace in Ukraine. Ukrainian and Russian negotiators meeting in Turkey today, but Trump and Vladimir Putin aren't going, and big developments on the peace front aren't expected. Severe storms expected to move east after pummeling the Midwest, with several tornadoes ripping through Wisconsin. This woman in Juneau.
When they say it sounds like a freight train line, it's like it was loud. I could feel the house heave.
Hundreds of thousands across the Midwest are without power. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It is 76 degrees this morning. We've got partly cloudy skies. Of course, we'll get a full check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a couple of minutes. Well, it'll soon pay a little bit more to be a firefighter in Escambia County. The Board of Commissioners approving pay raises for firefighters at yesterday's meeting. It'll raise starting wages by $3 an hour to up to $16 per hour now.
And it'll take our incoming firefighters from about right now annual compensation, 42 and some change, to about 52 and some change. And so then it'll go up the scale from there for more senior level firefighters.
Escambia County Commissioner Wes Moreno. Commissioners also approved building two new fire stations, a training facility, and renovations for other fire stations yesterday.
So we are moving forward with the construction of two brand new fire stations, and then essentially the rehab of three fire stations, and then potentially a third brand new fire station, and then the training facility, which will be huge for our firefighters. Our recruiting and also our retention, and making sure that we have the best technology and education possible.
And that's District 4 Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger, who says the idea is to move forward with issuing an RFP in June and break ground by next March. She says they're able to move a little bit faster with a progressive design and build contract. Hoffberger says the project is also off to a great start, as she's talked to many contractors who say both their budget and their timeline are very practical. Well, bond is now set for the three people charged in that Pace Pharmacy prescription drug trafficking case. A judge set bond for 54-year-old Stephen Berklow at $1,310,000, 58-year-old Monica Berklow at $600,000, and 69-year-old David Winkles at $150,000. The three are accused of conspiring to traffic oxycodone, hydrocodone, and hydromorphone as part of the pill mill investigation into Dr. Elaine Sharp that's been ongoing for years. The Berklow's own Pace Pharmacy. Winkles is a retired pharmacist. The three suspects were ordered to have no contact with the Pace Pharmacy employees or any records concerning the business. They're all due back in court on May 29th. A man was taken to the hospital after a bear attack in Gulf Breeze yesterday. Santa Rosa County says he was attacked in his backyard on Joseph Circle about 2 a.m. Thursday morning. He was reportedly trying to protect his dog when the bear got him in the leg.
Santa Rosa 911, do you need police, fire, ambulance?
Yes, I need it. I think I need ambulance. I need it. I just got bit by a bear in my backyard. It tried to attack my dog, okay. And I went to rescue my dog, and it bit me in my leg.
I need you to take a breath. What's your address?
It bit my leg, man. That's up.
And the man was taken to Ascension Sacred Heart Hospital for treatment of those injuries. Of course, the FWC is investigating this bear attack, and they're looking for the animal. They say once they find the bear, it will be humanely euthanized. This comes as the bear population has just been increasing across the state to the point they're now looking at instituting a bear hunt for the first time in decades. And the FWC will be having a meeting on their proposals for that next week. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by ECUA Bulk Waste Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110, Highway 90, Avalon. Everything is rolling smoothly this morning. I'm not seeing any delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. We've got Brooke Richardson with WEAR for our Channel 3 forecast.
Beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 85 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. Nice, beautiful, sunny weather heading into the weekend. Sunny skies on Saturday, high near 87. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 74. On Sunday, plenty of sunshine with a high near 86. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 74. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. 76 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning. Our next news. News at 7, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. Now getting a market update from our friends at Your Money Now.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields moved lower this morning as investors weighed the state of the U.S. economy after fresh developments in trade negotiations and several economic data points were published throughout the week. The 10-year Treasury yield declined more than 5 basis points to 4.402%. Epic Games said Fortnite is now unavailable on iOS globally after Apple blocked a bid to reinstate the popular game on the App Store in the U.S. Epic Games submitted Fortnite to Apple's U.S. App Store last week, a month after a judge ruled the iPhone maker is not allowed to charge a commission on purchases that consumers make outside of the iOS app. Charter Communications and Cox Communications, two of the largest cable companies in the U.S., have entered into an agreement to merge. The agreement values Cox at $34.5 billion on an enterprise basis, in line with Charter's recent enterprise value, according to a news release. Futures are currently slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with IZERVAY, you can
slow it down, get it going slower.
IZERVAY slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. IZERVAY, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Welcome to Regeneration Station, where you can get relief from pain, improve mental health and stress reduction, and so much more. The Energy Room features the latest in scalar and biophotonic energy, offering incredible health benefits. They also offer cold plunge and sauna therapy. May 31st is group overnight, and every Friday from 1 to 3 is Friday matinee. Regeneration Station, where wellness meets innovation. Discover a healthier you naturally on North 9th Avenue across from Winn-Dixie and online at regenerationstation850.com.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider, right now offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
It don't matter, he's dope, he knows that, but he's pro. He's so stagnant, he knows when he goes back to this mobile home. That's when it's back to the lab again, yo. This old rhapsody better go capture this moment and hope it don't do it. Lose his mouth in the music, the moment you own it, you better never let it go. You only get one shot.
Ad valorem taxes, as a percentage of all of their taxes, ran about 73%. So by far and large, that was the major tax source used by counties across the state of Florida. And in addition, we had 22 cities that don't even collect ad valorem taxes at all.
This is Amy Baker. She was given a presentation to the sort of House panel on property tax evaluation. She is with the Joint Legislative Office of Economic and Demographic Research, and a lot of numbers, but the takeaway from this conversation was that some counties rely heavily on property tax, ad valorem property tax, which is another way of saying property tax. It just means by the value, goes up more your stuff is worth. You could also have square foot property tax. There's different ways of doing it. Anyway, some counties rely heavily on it. Some counties rely a little. Some cities rely massively. Some cities rely not at all. It's a whole complicated problem to figure out. If we do kill off this revenue source for counties and cities, how do they maintain their operational budget? Joining us now, we have Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you sound coldy. Are you sick? You sound congested.
A little bit. Yeah,
so,
I got a head cold.
I'm sorry. Sorry to hear that. Okay, so I thought, I guess naively, I was thinking that if we get rid of property taxes, you know, we can just put on sales taxes. This is a simple problem. You know, everybody makes a certain, you know, that we're 30% dependent on our revenue from property taxes. Put a couple of points on the sales tax and we make it up. It's easy peasy. Turns out it's not even remotely that simple, right?
Yeah, no, it's not that simple. I mean, think about the counties that don't really have a lot of tourist activity, how much sales tax revenue can they actually generate, and how much in sales tax percentage would they have to levy to actually make up for property tax revenue they're receiving.
Right.
I think the main reason why Governor DeSantis is so up in arms about a statewide sales tax cut by the legislature is, despite lying and saying this would not require new taxes, Governor DeSantis has always had in the back of his mind the idea that we will be subsidizing local governments with state tax revenue until each county can figure out what they're doing over the course of probably several years.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like the most likely answer to me, is that if you kill off property taxes, you know, especially small budgetary constrained counties, places that don't get a lot of tourism, like you mentioned, they're going to be in trouble. And the only way to make that work is if you increase sales tax and then take some of the sales tax from places like Escambia or Broward or Orange and you shovel them over to the poor counties and make up for the property tax revenue that they weren't getting. I mean, that's the only way to make it work, because those counties aren't going to be able to, like, I mean, Holmes County has a $9 million budget. And if you wipe out the, you know, up to $500,000 as your homestead exemption, one of the representatives mentioned that they would have 11 taxpayers left. Like 11 people own homes worth $500,000 or more. Like that's completely non-functional.
Yeah. No, you're getting the argument from me. And that's why we in the legislature, I mean, we've stood up a committee to talk through these things, to say, what does property tax relief look like? And despite the fact that we're the adults in the room doing this, just trying to do the hard work, Governor DeSantis just keeps throwing his fist on the table and whining and saying, do your jobs. Like, I don't know how else to describe what's going on other than we're trying to do the work. We're trying to do a good job as a taxpayer and actually think through the ramifications of property tax relief. And we don't have a partner in the executive, and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
You know, I actually thought Toby Overdorf made the announcement that you guys, or not you, but that this panel had invited the governor to come to a meeting and present ideas and alternatives. And, you know, he said, no, it's not my job. You guys need to figure it out. And I was like, well, I mean, can we not collaborate at least a little bit on something so momentous for the state? But okay. The other thing I wanted, one of the other things I wanted to talk with you about, we are still in the budget impasse. As far as I mean, I know that the Speaker of the House, you know, has alleged that the Senate leader, Albritton, lied to him, or at least went back on his word about what he was willing to consider. For people who have not been tracking this all that closely, can you kind of walk us through what's happening and what did happen?
Yeah. I don't know if he lied, but it does appear, based on what Ben Albritton told, the Senate President Ben Albritton told the Senate from the rostrum on the floor, that he went back on his word on his commitment to the Florida House to actually implement certain tax cuts like the business rent tax and the sales tax cuts that we asked for. After agreeing to like a top-line tax number and a top-line budget number, we left for a few days, Tallahassee, and we agreed to kind of come back. We were supposed to be back this week to finalize the budget, but in response to Governor DeSantis saying he would veto our sales tax cut, Ben Albritton in the Senate decided to say, okay, well, since he's going to veto it, I obviously can't agree to it anymore. And he's kind of just caving prematurely to what the governor is saying, it feels like. And from my perspective as a House member, I don't know why Ben Albritton cares. Ben Albritton wanted to spend more. He wants to spend like a drunken sailor and not cut taxes at all. So why does he care if what we're negotiating for in the House is ultimately vetoed? And why should that affect what we send to the governor in the first place? That part doesn't make sense to me. But at any rate, yeah, we're in this position now where we're still at an impasse, still sending offers back and forth between the House and the Senate. And maybe someday we can get an agreement on a budget allocation that the Senate can actually stick to so we can actually conference and finalize a budget.
Which, of course, is the one thing that you guys are legally obligated to do in your session, which hasn't happened yet, but, you know, session's been extended. We're talking to Alex Andrade, State Representative for District 2. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
We are still accident-free this morning. No delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Alex Andrade. Alex, obviously, locally, the biggest news of the week was after this ambush attack on Martha Saunders last week by the DeSantis appointed members of the Board of Trustees, including the hybrid crossover sudden appointee of Zach Smith, who serves on both boards apparently right now, PSC and UWF. They went after her. They asked questions, some of which were fair, some of which were very hostile. A couple of days later, she resigns, and we're now waiting to figure out who's going to be, you know, I mean, she's there until they find an interim replacement, but thoughts on this process, thoughts on Manny Diaz as the widely rumored, believed to be the likely replacement, just comments on what's been going on this week.
Well, I have nothing but great things to say about Martha Saunders. I mean, she's led the University of Such Grace in class for almost, a decade.
Yeah.
You know, I've been very lucky to work with her, and get to know her. I'm really just kind of frustrated that she didn't get to go out more on, you know, her own terms and fulfill the like her full contract. But yeah, I think Manny Diaz is a a good guy. I've never seen him in an executive role, like running a university. Running a state agency like Department of Education is very, very different than running a university in day-to-day operations. So I'm not 100% sure how he would do if he's ultimately the one chosen. But I think it's kind of telling that they had to dig up examples back from 2019 in this kind of ambush of Dr. Saunders. If you can't find an instance of a drag show after 2019, then what are we really talking about? The world has changed since 2019. My opinion about all of this stuff has changed since 2019. Not that I ever had an overly permissive opinion, but I mean, my position has changed, and that's Black Lives Matter didn't exist in 2019.
Right.
Like, think about that. Think about how different everything is compared to, like, we had no idea just how much pornographic material was in libraries across the state and school libraries in 2019. Governor DeSantis supported smokable marijuana back in 2019. the world is different.
Right. So find some recent examples and show me that the problem persists and that we need to fix it by getting rid of the problem. Like, all of that. I agree. No, that's a great way to think about it, that, you know, so much of our awareness even about these issues has changed. And it's true. We forget, like, Black Lives Matter. I remember the protest at Graffiti Bridge was right during the beginnings of COVID when people were up in arms over, well, there are all too many people congregating in one place and not wearing masks. You know, like, COVID and Black Lives Matter kind of all came up around the same time. That's a great reminder. Last thing that just on Manny Diaz, just for a second, I'm same. I like him. He seems responsible. I don't know if he's got the relevant experience if he winds up being, okay, that's an if. I'm honestly at this point, I'm worried about anybody who's a DeSantis loyalist. That's my, even people that I would otherwise not raise much of an eyebrow about, if they're super DeSantis loyalist, that makes me kind of have a question mark. Am I wrong for thinking about it? I mean, I'm sure you have the same concern, but that's kind of where my head's at right now.
Yeah, I guess it has, his judgment is affected, but I don't want to say that every single DeSantis loyalist is bad.
No, that's fair.
DeSantis' judgment, though, is definitely tainted at the moment. He's made terrible calls at certain appointments, especially around here. Your point's well taken. I don't want to cast aspersions or cast judgment until I see who actually. I mean, like, he could appoint somebody perfectly fine.
Yeah, and I guess to be fair, I mean, until 3 or 4 months ago, I was a DeSantis loyalist. You know, so okay, you know, that's I appreciate that correction. That's good. Last thing is the Hope Florida Foundation. Turns out the story's not over. Miami Herald came out with a big article late yesterday that was specifically about the resignation of one of the board members of the charitable organizations that had received the $5 million. Where are we at in this? Because the sort of rumors of its death may have been greatly exaggerated.
Yeah, it's not dead. We've turned over all information to law enforcement, and such as them to be pursuing it at this point, but the story is still developing. This organization, Save Our Society from Drugs, which is kind of like an arm or somehow connected to Drug Free America, multiple board members are resigning now just because the executive director who funneled this money didn't tell them at all about this $5 million from the governor's office, and it's making them all very nervous. And instead of being conciliatory and wanting to work with the board to prove that everything is on the up and up, apparently, this executive director is saying she's a whistleblower and you're all retaliating against her and you're part of this big weed cabal, because apparently board members for Drug Free America are part of actually a secret conspiracy to impose weed on people. That's kind of what she's saying and accusing them of. And so you have multiple board members resigning from this board now, all over the fact that they're being prevented from looking into the $5 million in their own organization.
Which they didn't vote on, right? Like, they didn't know it was happening. It all sidestepped them too, right?
Yeah. They weren't told about the money coming in. They weren't told about the money immediately going out. They were not informed.
Wow.
Yeah, if I was a board member in that circumstance, I'd be quitting. I'd resign immediately too.
Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. Sir, I hope you feel better. I know you're a little under the weather today, but I appreciate it, and certainly all the updates are useful. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Andrew.
You bet. 654, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. If you have a business, you have to deal with employees, employee benefits, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, managing HR or payroll or all of the above. And if I talk about this stuff and it makes your eye twitch because you don't like it, and I understand. You're like, Andrew, I'm just trying to listen to the radio. Why you got to remind me of the pain in my life? Well, okay, call Torgerson and Causey. If thinking about this stuff makes you unhappy, call them and see if maybe they can make you happy. Maybe they can solve the problems. Maybe they can take it off of your plate or give your employees better options or whatever. It's no obligation for them to look over what you're doing. And, you know, they might come and look at it and you're like, no, thanks. That's fine. They might come and look at me like, oh, praise the maker. you know, like, because I know for us here at News Radio, we've been using them for about 4 years in Cat Country, about 4 years. They're great. Genuinely, like, we didn't know it could be this way. You know, and they're fantastic. So give them a call today. More than 20 years helping local businesses with all their benefits needs. No obligation for them to look over what you're doing. 433-9996 or online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
We are still looking good right now. Not seeing any accidents or delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you are thinking about the next vehicle, you're trying to decide where to go, who to look at, what to buy, all the questions. I know typically you kind of think about the car dealer, the car salesperson as the adversary. Like you got to go pry the good deal out of their hands. Let me suggest a reorientation. Think about Frontier as an ally. Think about them as a car guidance counselor, a place where you can go and ask your questions. And literally they see thousands of cars, all different kinds of makes and models all the time. They sell a lot of cars, good quality cars. And you can ask them things like, what features do people like? What features are people complaining about? What cars hold their value? Which ones don't? Which ones have to be repaired a lot? This brand was really good 10 years ago. Is it still good today? Because things change. They see so many cars. They can help you with that. Plus, the convenience of looking at all these different cars in one place instead of having to drive around and meet six different salespeople and go through the whole, well, my life story, and here's what I can afford, and here's my driver's license, all that. One place, simple. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Happy Wednesday,
thanks for noticing me.
bills. Get on my elevator, baby, we're going up. Give me that now and later. I can't get enough.
I'm sorry. I know you. You don't know the nature of the joke, but let's just say we have fun around here. 659 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. By the way, if you're having reception issues on the 92.3 or the 95.3, you can always, you can always check out AM 1620. That signal's good as always. It's the legacy signal. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline for us. David?
Sure am. Well, a serial killer has been executed. The Casanova killer, put to death by lethal injection last night, Glenn Rogers. He'd been convicted of a string of murders of single mothers from California all the way to Florida in 1995.
Wow. Okay. All right. Good riddance, I would say. Hey, Fiesta Days is coming up May 28th, 7:15 p.m. Fun time at the Surrender of the City at Seville Quarter.